church impacts the nation. That's what's happening in this 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The ruler of the land, he's the one that's praying for the blessing of God upon the house of God that's been built. It's a prayer of dedication in chapter 6. By the time it gets to chapter 7, I read it Sunday morning, but I want to read it again. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. I still can't hardly get over that. So much of God being in there that you can't get in. That's what it's saying. We've had some great services, but I've never been in a service like that. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." I started Sunday morning on preaching on the glory of the Lord. And glory is a word that's just about fallen out of a lot of churches' vocabulary. We have a lot of different words for praise that we use. You know, really, they're praise words. For example, we say amen. The word amen means so be it. We say hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. But I like when the preacher asked the old saint of God one time, said, "You're all the time saying glory. What does glory mean?" And the old saint of God thought and thought and thought and said, "Why, glory means glory. There's nothing to compare to that word. You can't describe that word. But I know one thing for certain, the glory of the Lord is missing in a lot of churches in America today. There's some places, I really believe this, that you'll never find the glory of the Lord. There's some church gatherings that you'll never find the glory of the Lord in those church gatherings. What do you mean? Well, one thing, formalistic churches. You'll never see the glory of God in a formal church. Because a formal church will stop the glory of God. They're offended by the glory of God. And they don't know what to do when the glory of the Lord is there. I think we ought to have decency and order in everything that we do. We have liberty in our church, but we have structured liberty. We have liberty, but trust me, we won't let it get chaotic. There's a difference between the two. Just because there's noise doesn't mean the glory of the Lord is there. I go to a lot of churches that there's a lot of noise but very little glory. It's all smoke and no fire. I'm talking about the fire of the Lord coming down. You'll never find the glory of the Lord in a formalistic church. Many years ago, I was called to preach at a church. I don't know why I ever accepted it. I'm going to learn. It takes me a while, but I'm going to learn. There's some things you never tell God never. And I made up my mind I wasn't going to that church. And I got the invitation, and finally the Lord just chastised me so much I had to go. So when I went, I got there early, and the ushers escorted me back into a back room. The pastor came in, and he said, "Well, if you want to, you can change into your robe right back there." I said, "I've got it on. I don't have a robe." And I'm not against that, but I used to wonder why people did that. Then I see how some folks come to church, and I think robes in choir is probably a good idea sometimes, some places I go. Oh, boy, I'm feeling it tonight. So they kept me back there until everything else. They had a processional, recessional, offertory. They had big words for everything they did. They come out, and when we sat down, the choir singing. He said, "Now when the choir finishes," he said, "then you go ahead and you can speak." He was making sure he's telling me, "Don't preach, speak." And so I looked at him, and I leaned over. We were in big chairs sitting up on the front. I kind of felt like the Pope of Pedro. And that big old chair, me sitting in it, and he was in one. And I leaned over and I said, "I got a little problem." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Where do I go to speak from?" They had three pulpits in the church. Had a lower level pulpit, one up halfway up, and another one all the way up, nearly in the back of the choir. And he said, "Oh," he said, "I'm sorry about that." He said, "You'll go to the lower pulpit." He said, "That's where people that's not ordained in our church go to." And he said, "You have to be ordained then to go to the middle pulpit." He said, "That's where we marry people." And he said, "The upper pulpit's where we bury people from, have funeral services." So I preached about 10 minutes and looked over at him and I said, "You dirty dog. You've done sent me to the wrong pulpit this morning. I should be up there where you bury people instead of down here where you preach to people." Well, they didn't quite laugh like you all did, but I thought it was funny. So after service, the chairman of the board said, "We'd like to meet with you in the boardroom." I would like to tell you that I was heartbroken, because usually that means they're going to tell you you're never coming back again. And so I went into the boardroom there, and they set me down at the head of the table. They were nice. They were courteous. They all gathered around, all these business people. They sat down, and the chairman of the board sat down on the other end opposite of me. And he looked up, and his lips started to quiver. And he said, "You know, that's the kind of preaching I got saved under." He said, "I'm just wondering, when can you come and hold us a revival?" Well, they booked it, but the denomination stopped it. You'll not find the glory of the Lord, though, where there's a formalistic church. I might get in trouble with this. You won't find the glory of the Lord in a fundamental church that's dead. To know the truth and believe the truth is two separate things. To say, "I know there is a Christ," and to say, "I know that Christ is in me," is entirely two separate things. A lot of churches have a head knowledge, but what we need is a heart stirring in the day that we're in. I think of the great old evangelist Sam Jones that used to preach and say, "Most people are 18 inches short of heaven. That's the distance from their head to their heart." And that's true. There's something about being sincere in our heart when we come to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I need to trust You and believe You with all of my heart." Let me ask you something. Where do you love from? Your head or your heart? It had better come from your heart. And God says if we're to love Him, we're to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Everything that's in us should love the Lord. I've been in a lot of churches that they have the doctrine right. They have the Bible right. They know what the Bible says. But they do not want a visitation of the Holy Spirit in their church or the glory of God to come down. But I'm here to tell you, God still wants to bless people. Take a deep breath now. I'll tell you somewhere else that I've never seen the glory of God, and I have to preach in some. I've never seen the glory of God in a contemporary church. I've seen shows, and I've seen entertainment, and I've even seen folks get worked up. But you watch when the preacher comes. You'll not see like the things like we saw on last Sunday night, where someone stooped under conviction, makes their way to an altar to pray and seek the Lord. That's the glory of the Lord. See, God did that without me. He did that without you. He did that because He's God. I see a lot of head banging and a lot of noise. I see a lot of pep rallies. But in contemporary churches, I don't see the glory of God. And by the way, if you come here thinking that's what we're going to become, no, thank you. I've had so much of that stuff. I'm telling you what, when I get in those churches that they start into all of that stuff and they're swaying and singing the same little old chorus over and over, and they try to turn the praise of God on and off like a light switch, and now they've even got clocks on the wall that they have 5-minute countdowns, 10-minute countdowns for the glory of God to come. I want to tell you something. You don't control the glory of God. When God comes in His fullness and power, He starts when He wants to start, and He stops when He wants to stop. A couple years ago, they called me to come and preach at a church that had supported our ministry for years and years and years. I leaned over to Brian the first night, and I said, "These have been good friends." And I said, "But they're fixing to get mad tonight." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, this is sickening." And it was sickening. I cannot believe how they took a church that people had sweated, prayed, labored, worked, loved, and messed it up so bad in 6 months. I said, "That's not right." And I'm fixing to tell him it's not right. I preached and he prayed the whole time. Next day I got an email and they said, "We'll not be supporting evangelistic outreach any longer." I've got news for you. I don't care. I hate for it to be this way, but if me and Jesus and the whole world feels otherwise, thank God I've got something that's real that I don't have to fake and I don't have to put on a show, but I've got something that's genuine that I know when I step out of the pulpit, I know what the glory of God is. I'd hate to be in a church that I wouldn't know if God showed up or not. There's really about 7 places, according to the Bible, the life of Christ, that you'll find the glory of God. You find the glory of God at His cradle in the manger. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. You see the glory of God when He was born. You see the glory of God according to the Bible in the life of a Christian. We possess glory in our soul. That's what the Bible teaches us. What's that mean? That means a little bit of glory to go to glory in. You see the glory of God in the church. In fact, the Bible was so blatant about it that at one point the Bible says that they were told just like Ichabod over the door. What's that word mean? The glory has departed. You see the glory of God at the cross. We sing the song that's taken from the passage of Scripture. I will glory in the cross. Paul's prayer was that he would never glory in anything that he had done. That he would not glory in the 13 books that he's attributed to being the human author inspired by the Holy Ghost to pen. He said, "I don't want to glory in the churches that I've established. I don't want to glory in my pain and suffering. But I want to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see the glory in the conquered death by Jesus Christ. It was glory that raised Him from the dead. You see glory concerning the coming again of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He will come in power and glory. And by the way, we also see the glory one other time, and that's on the coronation day. When they come from the north, the south, the east, the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and they crown Him Lord of Lords. All power and honor and glory and dominion belongs to the Lamb that sits upon the throne. That's what John saw in the revelation of what heaven will be like. So I don't make any apologies for wanting to have a church that is filled with His glory. Well, house of God filled with the glory in this text. Sunday morning I dealt a little bit about the question, if He prayed, when He came to an end of praying, the glory filled the house of the Lord, what could He have prayed? And I mentioned Sunday morning about those that He prayed for, the people that He prayed for. The prayers that He had, He prayed in verse 21 with supplications. That means He said, let the house of God be a place where people can come with their cares and pray about their cares. Verse 22, if a man sin against his neighbor, he deals with conflicts. It should be a place. The glory of God will be in the house of God, and that will take care of the conflicts you have with others. In verse 24, He said, if the people of Israel be put to the worst before the enemy, there'll be casualties. The church should be a place where people who have casualty, spiritual casualties in their life, should be able to come and pray. The house of God that's filled with the glory of God will also be a place where there's prayers of confession. In verse 26, he said that they've come to confess thy name and turn from their sin. That's some of the prayers. But also, I think that we ought to look at the people and the condition of the church that is filled with the glory of God. Look in verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake. Now, I want to tell you something. When the glory of God gets in a church, the word spreads. We had a gentleman here Sunday morning. They're trying to sell their house, trying to move into the area. You know why they're trying to move into the area? They want to go to church here. Now, that shocks you because some of you have grown up here and you've been here all your life. And you say, why would someone want to come? Because you haven't been outside these doors lately. And you'll find out there's not a lot of churches that have the glory of God left in it. And it's getting worse. Nobody else wants to say it, maybe, so maybe I better tell you. We had better prepare our hearts and minds. If God allows us to be on this earth and the coming again of Jesus Christ tarries, and we get in the other building up there, watch out. There's people that are in the shadows that are going to come from far and near. They're just waiting for us to have the room for them to come in and be a part of worship like we're involved with. Now, some people will take this wrong. They'll think that I'm just lifting our church up. No, I'm lifting the Lord up. Any church that will put God first can experience what I'm preaching about in these sermons. The glory of God's not limited to Rubyville. That's not what I'm saying. And by the way, if we don't want His glory, He'll shut off the spout too. It's something you have to want, pray for, seek, live right, do right, seek God for. But if you do that, God said, I'll see my glory. Now, when that happens, the word spreads. And when the word spreads, people start coming. And they're strangers. Now, some may think that this is different, and I'm not being critical of anyone else. Don't think that. If you come to our church and you've only been here two or three times, and about every service we have new folks anymore, but you'll probably notice that when you come to our church, there'll be someone that will discreetly meet you beforehand and they want some information about you. All we want that for, we're not going to be sending you letters for money or hounding you. We want you to know we appreciate you coming. That's for our records. We know that you're here. But this church is a little different in the respect that we don't isolate visitors. And myself, I like it that way. See, the last thing that someone that's a stranger wants is for you to all turn around and point to them and say, stranger, stranger. We want you to feel welcome. Now, if you're lost, we want you to feel welcome, but we want you to feel miserable at the same time till you get saved and become a part of the family of God. But we should have in our mind everything that we can do to welcome people. We should be willing to do that. From the smallest of things, how important it is. I know myself, I do all that I can when I come in to try to park as far back as I can to leave open spots for visitors coming in and for elderly and feeble folks. If you come to this church, you won't find a sign up on the building special parking for the pastor. I'll walk from my house if I have to, because I want to make it as convenient as possible for you that have difficulty getting in and for you that come to visit. We want you to know we are glad that you're here. I hit it on Sunday morning, and I want to hit it one other time tonight just before I pass on to some other things. Because you may think I mentioned Sunday morning about people talking to me about going to churches and people not wanting them to take their seats and all of that. Sunday morning, in our church, I was approached by an individual. Said they came to our church. Doesn't matter who it is. Don't ask me who it is. I won't tell you. But they were approached. They came in. They went to sit down. And someone told them, you can't sit there. That's our seat in our church. And they left. And said, I'm not coming back. Thank God for praying people that prayed for them and the Holy Spirit that brought them back in. Who do you think you are? I'm sorry to be so hard on this, but you know, we don't know the condition of people. You know, they could even come in, and I can't tell you the number of times that I've talked to people before church started, and they told me that they were saved or they come from such and such a church, and by the time church is over, they're weeping under conviction and come and really get saved. I don't see their heart. I've never met them. I don't know. And maybe God has brought them here to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that we need to understand is that we always become aware of the fact that the Lord says there are wayfaring strangers in this land. Make yourself open, because some men have entertained angels unaware. Then he went on to talk about in verse 34, if thy people go out to war against their enemies. He also says, we ought to be praying for wayfaring strangers, but we ought to be praying for warring saints. Some people love God with all their heart, but they're in some tremendous battles. Real struggles in life, real problems. Break your heart if you heard all the problems that a lot of people have. He said, then the other thing in verse 36, he said, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. I think I could stop right there. He's saying we also ought to pray for wayward sinners. Don't be angry with them, and don't cut them off. But let me tell you something else. Don't become like them. Now, I'm a firm belief that you don't have to participate in the sin of the sinner to win the sinner to Jesus Christ. I think you can live the life for God and live a life of holiness and still love and pray for sinners. Now, they'll have a hard time understanding that, because they think that when you preach on their sin, teach on their sin, pray for them over their sin, they'll think that you don't like them. But what it is that all you want is for them to be delivered from that sin that has them bound. Because we know what your life can be when your sins are forgiven and when you come to the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ and what He'll do for sinners. But He said, never stop praying for wayward sinners. Make the house of God a place that sinners can come. You know how many people tell me, I can't go into church down there, while the roof would fall in on me. Or they'll tell you things, you know the life I live, I can't go down. You know, sometimes, and I'm not being cruel, but sometimes don't you just wish that they really knew what some of us were before we met the Lord? God loves sinners. But thank God He didn't leave us in our sin. We can come and repent of our sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ change our life. And He's not limited back to me or to you, but there's a world that's lost that needs to be saved. And he said, you know, if you pray right, the next thing that happens when the sinners start coming and they start repenting, verse 41, at the end of that verse says, let thy saints rejoice in goodness. We see worshiping saints. I love to see people get blessed. I love to see people worship God. It's not the same with everybody. If it was the same with everybody, we'd be in serious trouble. It'd be a dull world to live in. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing in the world like God blessing you from head to foot. I'm thankful for people that receive the blessings. Tom tonight, while he sung, I could tell Tom was getting blessed, couldn't you? He's not loud, didn't shout like I did, but he was getting blessed. By the way, do you have any doubt that Tim over here, when he stands up, Tim Mitchell, do you have any doubt when he gets blessed? See, I thank God everybody in this church don't shout like that, but thank God you don't mind it if he does. Someone said, well, that kind of stuff scares me. Well, it's not like measles. It's not going to break out and you catch it. But the truth of the matter is, it's just that God is so good and so big inside of us that we try to find a way to show Him and try to find a way to tell Him. But sometimes you just can't say it with words. And next comes a shout, and a shout's not enough. And next comes running, and that's not enough. And you just can't praise Him enough when you think about what He's brought you from, what He's taking you to. The glory of God comes down and does something to us. Thank God for an environment that we can say to saints of God, you're free to worship God. Oh, what liberty. You know, when they start worshiping, that's when everything changes. When they start, well, here they are now. Now, think about what I've told you about. People with cares are there. People that's casualties. I mean, they feel like they're dead. They're never going to have a good day again. Life's run them over. You've got people that's been in conflict with neighbors. You've got people that are sinners. You've got strangers. You've got saints. They're all coming together. My, what a potpourri of people. But when you get all those people together, suddenly they start worshiping God. And when they start worshiping God, it's not long until the next few verses we read, the house of God is filled with the glory of God. It's miraculous. Why is it miraculous? Because it comes down from heaven. It's manifest. Fire came down from heaven. You can see fire. By the way, you can see the glory of God. You can tell when the Lord shows up. It was also matchless. There was never, I've read through the Scripture as far as I know, never again do we read another account where the priests could not enter the house of God because the Lord was already in there and had it full. You don't read this same account happening anywhere else in Scripture. It's matchless. You know, there's some things, that's why it thrills my heart for faithful people to the church. Because every service you can see something that may never happen again. One time only and it'll never happen again. Never be like that. The service will never be exactly the same. God won't put it in the same order. It won't take place the same way. It'll be one of a kind. Kind of like Jesus healing blind people. He did it the way He wanted to do it. Some He made spittle and put on their eyes. Some He touched their eyes. I'm telling you, God does it the way He wants to do it. But it's matchless when the glory of God really shows up. Someone says, oh, I wish I could have been there. You just have to tell them too late. It'll never be that way again. It'll be good. But it'll be different. It won't be the same thing two times in a row. It won't work that way. Worst thing any church can do is get into a routine and limit God's power and not allow God to do it the way that He wants to do it because it should be matchless. I'm telling you, you can bring the same people together in the exact same building, sing the exact same songs, and the preacher preach the same sermon. And it won't be the same. It just won't be. I can't tell you why. 1 week, God overcomes me. And the next week, it may be Brother Howard. The next week, it may be Brian. And the next week, it may be one of you. That's the key to the service. But I tell you this much, when the glory of the Lord's there, you won't duplicate it. You can't copy it. You can't put it on tape. I'm not against that. You can't put it on CD. You can't video it and it be the same. It's just not the same. Even if you go back and watch the same service, it's not the same. Well, what do you mean? Well, it's like watching somebody take a vacation and you taking one. I never have figured this Travel Channel out. People sit around and watch everybody else have fun. Traveling, all, that's not the same as doing it yourself, folks. I'm telling you. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference when you're the one that's involved. They're nothing like me. I know there'll be a time in my life that I want to be here probably and won't be able. If I live long enough, I won't be able to come. But thank God I'll have enough memories of the faithfulness of the times that I was there. And the glory of God came down and He did things in ways that was so much bigger than any of us that we knew it had to be God. It's matchless. Why? Because He's God, and beside Him, there's none other. So the glory comes, and they start in wonder. I mean, the wonder was so great, it overwhelmed them that they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. They were so overwhelmed by the glory of God that I don't know if any of you have ever experienced it. You may want to run me off after. But I'm telling you, there's times where the glory of God's come down in services I've been in that I almost feel like a weight's on me. It's not a bad heaviness. That's not what I mean. I mean, it almost gets so strong that I wonder if my legs will hold me up. Oh, glory. Don't tell me somebody big as God sat down on you. You're not going to know He's there. Feel some pressure. Wonder, just in amazement. Lord, why would you do such a thing? Why would you be so good to us? That wonder of it all. Never, ever lose the wonder of the fact that God would save somebody like us and allow us to go to heaven and change our life. Never lose that wonder. And then when they were overwhelmed with the wonder in their worship, they finally were able to say something. The only thing they could say, do you see it in verse 3? Saying, for He is good. All of that, when they can finally squeak something out, the only thing they can say, Lord, You are good. Your mercy endureth forever. You know what they were saying? Thank God this doesn't ever stop. This is something that's with us from now until eternity. The glory of the Lord. I hope that in these days we will seek God to say, Lord, don't let me be too concerned about others and what they think and what they do. Let me focus a little bit more on how good You are. And focus just a little bit on how wonderful You are. And Lord, never let me lose the wonder of all of it. It is kind of sad, you know. Medical science, now they think they're so smart that they've lost the wonder. But I don't care what they do, we're still fearfully and wonderfully made. I just about guarantee you, Justin, if you talked to some of the people involved with what happened to your mother, the first thing, if they're unbelievers, the first thing they'd say is, we probably got the test mixed up. Because they cannot bring themselves to say sometimes, some things are bigger than me. And there's some things I don't know the answer to. And there's some things that I can't do to fix it. But I serve a wonderful God that knows it all, can do it all, can take care of it all. Never lose the wonder of His glory. They'd love to take away those old songs like Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. See, you're a fanatic if you do that now. But I want to tell you this before I close. I love going out and preaching. I love the doors God opens for me. I'm thankful for every call I get. I'm thankful God sends in more calls than I can possibly take. I'm glad I can go visit churches. But I'll say this too. I'm still glad that I'd rather be right here preaching than anywhere in the world. I'm glad that I love to sit up on the front seat and watch people get in the glory. I'm glad I'm still thrilled about going to church. Something must be wrong with us after all these years. We still get excited about getting ready to come and meet at the house of God because we don't know what's going to happen from one service to the next. Wonder who's going to get saved tonight. Wonder who's going to get healed. Wonder who's going to get blessed. Wonder what God's going to do for us tonight. It's a good way to live, isn't it? I told Candy the other day, I said, I must be crazy. I'm one of the only preachers that seems to still love where they're at and love doing what they're doing. Everybody I talked to, I couldn't understand it. Dear old Homer Willis one time, he told me Brother Willis has preached here from our pulpit before he went to heaven. Brother Willis, one time, he got intrigued with the fact about how many people were satisfied where they were at and doing what God had called them to do. So he took a little poll of churches. And out of 100 preachers that he talked to in private and said, if you could, would you go somewhere else? 98 of them said yes. He said, now, if I'd have stopped there, I'd have been okay. But he said, I asked him, well, why don't you go? Every one of them said the same thing. You know what they said? I'm afraid I'll get another church like I've got now. Something to think about, isn't it? I kind of like the one God gave me now. I'm not going to do something stupid and say I'll be here until I die because sure the world God will say no, you're calling the shots in. But if it'd be all right, I'd like to be here. But I'll say this as well. What we've got, we better never lose. It's not the name over the door and it's not the fact I'm in this pulpit. It's not the fact we have a lot of great talent, and we do, and we're blessed with a lot of great singing. We have a lot of great youth programs, a lot of things going on. But if you take all of that and you don't have the glory of the Lord there, you'll not see souls saved, and you'll not see the Lord exalted. I still need Him. Let's stand together, and Brother Howard, you come and sing whatever God would have you sing tonight. Well, He's coming. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, I'm telling you, He's here tonight. I heard it in the prayers. I could see His presence in the singing. I can sure feel His presence in the preaching. I can see it in the faces of His people. And if you're here tonight without the Lord, you didn't just wander into this place. The Lord's brought you here for such a time as this. And we've been praying for you, and your loved ones are praying for you. And if you have any need in your life whatsoever, saint or sinner, this is a good place to come and pray about it.